Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
All right, guys, we have a very special guest on the podcast today. We have the quarterback of the Arlington Renegades. That is a UFL team. The UFL in 2024 had 816,000 viewers a game. That is more than NHL regular season and MLS combined. Luis, how are you doing today?
Doing great, guys. Appreciate you guys having me on.
You didn't play high school football, is that correct?
That's correct.
That is crazy. So, just explain to our viewers kind of a basic journey that you had from not playing high school football to now playing professional football.
Yeah, so basically, I always had that dream of playing in the NFL. I was that kid that took the football everywhere, right? Took it in the aisles, in the stores, threw it around everywhere, slept with it, had it in the car, right? That was me. Now, it was kind of a weird moment when I got to high school because, I'm thinking, hey, I'm going to try for quarterback and I'm going to be the guy. And, it didn't turn out that way. They kind of tell me, hey, you're kind of a taller guy. We need some bodies that, tight end and receiver. So I'm like, okay, sure. I'll do that. Now, at that same time, it was kind of one of those things where I was bowling at the time and I was competing nationally and I was doing really well for myself. I end up saying, screw this. I don't want to play, tight end and receiver where, we're in a wing tee offense and you throw the ball five times a game and you're blocking 95% of the time. So I was like, I'm just going to put this football journey on the side and continue my bowling path. So I did that for 4 years in high school. And finally, the moment that really changed my life was the last home game my senior year of high school. And all my buddies ended up convincing me, hey, let's go to the football game. It's the last one. It's the last home game. It's our senior year. So I'm like, all right, fine, let's go. So I remember getting there and sitting in the stands and watching all my buddies run through a tunnel and me getting instant full body chills. Like, whoa, why am I not down there playing with my buddies? Why am I up here in the stands? And that was really the moment when I decided, it's time to put this bowling dream on hold and pursue this NFL dream.
They don't have as fire of an intro for the bowling. They're not having the tunnel for the bowling alley, dude. That's crazy.
No, definitely not.
Dang, that's a crazy story.
Yeah.
Because most people think that they can't really switch up more than once. They're like, okay, I have a certain, especially in high school, it's like, okay, I have 4 years to figure out what I want to do in college and whatnot. And some people, I feel like, even I thought, I can't go back once I pick. But you literally you were at football, went bowling, and then you went back to football. Do you think you chose the right path, or is there any regret of oh man, I could have been an insane bowler?
No, not really, because here's the thing. You could bowl when you're 50, 60 years old.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
My football window is so small, right? People, you're lucky if you make it to 38, 39, 40 playing football. So I think I made the right decision, making it to the NFL and still pursuing the NFL. Yeah, I mean, the love for bowling is still there. Whenever I decide to hang up the cleats, I'm definitely going to go back to bowling.
That's sick.
And how'd you get into bowling in the first place?
So it was I was 9 years old, I think, 9 or 10 years old. And it was my dad's birthday. And we just went bowling one day. And I remember I just fell in love with it. I was like, man, this is kind of fun. I started beating my brothers, my dad. And I'm like, this is kind of fun. So then it kind of escalated from that to okay, well, now let me join a league. Okay, let me get my own shoes. Let me get my own ball, right? And then it just kind of escalated. Now I have 6 or 7 balls, and now I'm in 2 or 3 leagues, and now I'm competing in tournaments. Now I'm like, oh, shoot, like I'm pretty good at this. Let me pursue this career. So that's kind of how it started.
Do you know what would be cool would be if they did, you know how like basketball shoes are like the thing? Like, oh, bro, I'm rocking the new Jordans or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
What if they did with bowling shoes?
Yeah.
I got the bowling 11s. I got the Lunar Bowl 2s. That'd be awesome.
That's funny.
Dude, that's really cool. I think you chose the right path as well. I just want to say that. And I think the Renegades are also very happy about that. You won XFL Player of the Year a few years ago, right? Is that correct?
So I won the championship game MVP in 2023.
Wow. That's awesome. Did you get to, did Dwayne Johnson own part of the, did he co-own part of the XFL at that time?
Yeah. So he's still part of the league.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a pretty cool moment. You know, after the game, you know, we won the game and, you know, him handing me the MVP trophy and giving me a hug and, you know, telling me that was pretty sweet.
That's so cool.
Pretty neat deal. That was my question. Yeah.
You actually had, that's so cool, dude. That's a really big moment. Dang, that's so cool, dude. So that's a lot to, I mean, you win the MVP award 1 year and then you have to come back. And how do you keep the standard high, you know, when you go into the new season?
Yeah, so it becomes a part of you, right? It becomes your identity after you do it so long. And I only know one way. Is either you're all in or you're not in at all. And at a young age, right, when I made that transition to football from bowling, I was so far behind, right? I didn't have 4 years. All these guys were 4 years ahead of me playing high school football. So I always had that mentality of playing catch up, always. And to this day, I still have that mentality, even though I may now be on the other side, right? Me being 30 years old, playing for a bunch of NFL teams, playing in all the spring leagues, I may be on the other side of that, but I still have that mentality of, hey, I'm still behind. Like, I need to keep learning. I need to be a sponge around everybody and learn and take bits and pieces from coaches that I can, you know, apply to my game and make myself better. It's a constant battle to improve every day. To me, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And that's one of the things that I just try to continue to do is just keep on getting better. Little 1% here and there, you know, over a long period of time, staying consistent will pay off.
Yeah. And to circle back to you catching up and learning how to play football, you did that mostly through YouTube, is that right? You learned
that's correct.
Like, what kind of videos were you watching that got you to be able to play professional football just by watching?
Yeah, so again, that moment when I decided, hey, like, I need to be playing football, that's my first instinct was, hey, let me get on YouTube, right? All I knew was I can throw a nice spiral and I can throw the ball very far. That's all I knew. So got on YouTube and started learning about just mechanics, right? Like, a C, not a U, and coverages, fronts, like how defense is structured, concepts, footwork, this drop goes with this route concept, like all these different things that I had no clue about. So again, I did that for like 3 or 4 months, right? And I was just like literally like pulling all-nighters, putting like tape in my room, taking drops in my room, buying a mirror so I can see my form in the mirror. I mean, it was an obsession. It was an obsession. I wanted to do this so bad. And I knew that, again, I was so far behind that there was no way but the way I was doing it. You have to be all in whatever you do. You can't be one foot in, one foot out. So, yeah. And then on top of that, just watching highlights of like Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, like all these guys, and just trying to watch them and emulate them and try to be as similar to them as possible. So I did that for about 4 or 5 months before walking on to junior college.
So just for our viewers to understand the timeline here. So you went from YouTube and then eventually played in the NFL for a while. What was that timeline like after you said you played junior college? How long were you there? And then eventually what team picked you up?
Yeah. So after high school, again, I was on YouTube. I walked into junior college and I was 9th on the depth chart. And I kind of worked my way up little by little with the same work ethic. Just started, you know, first one there, last one to leave. Again, I was not going to take no for an answer. They tried cutting me a few times, like, hey, you know, you're not going to get any reps. Why don't you try a different position or go transfer to a different college? I'm like, nope, sorry, I haven't got an opportunity, so I'm not going anywhere. And I just stuck around, little by little. People kind of just like, hey, I'm going to play baseball instead of football. People got hurt. People transferred, switched positions. And I'm like, okay, now I'm getting some reps. So then finally get my opportunity to game, crush it. So this is 2013. So I go in the game and I crush it. And you know, 4 touchdowns. I mean, phenomenal game. So I'm thinking like, wow, this is it. You know, it's my time. And the next game after that, I break my leg. So then I'm like right back down, right? Talk about being at the top, right back down. Now that whole kind of transformation phase from like being hurt and rehabbing and all that taught me a lot, because emotions are high and I didn't know how to really control those emotions, right? And anytime you're faced with adversity, there's three phases, right? It's like the obstacle, the adversity that happens, right? Me breaking my leg. Then there's like the emotional part that happens after that. And then after that, it's like the action, like what you do to overcome that adversity. And at a young age, I just kept getting stuck in that middle emotional phase. Like, why is this happening to me? Like, what's going on? Why me? I'm just pissed off, right? So when I finally got over that hump, rehab, went the next year, got All-American, 18 touchdowns, 3 picks, All-American Junior College. And after that, I was living like a Division I dream, right? I'm like,
hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Man, as a kid, you always want to play Division I football. So finally, I have nothing, right? Nobody wants to offer me. Every email I get back is, hey, you know, not enough experience, you know, play another year, try to go on a small school. So I did that. So I figured out, hey, which Division II quarterbacks play in the NFL? And I found out this guy named Dustin Vaughn went to West Texas A&M, who was currently on the Cowboys at the time. So I said, this guy could do it. I could do it. So I ended up finding out who his coach was and where he was at, and he was at Texas A&M Commerce. So I reached out to them. I said, hey, I want to come to your school. You know, they flew to California, saw me throw, offered me on the spot. Then I went to Commerce. After that, you know, I won my senior year, I won Player of the Year, which is the Harlan Hill Trophy, which is the equivalent to like the Heisman. And I won a national championship that same year. And after that, I went undrafted to the Rams in 2018. And then I went to the AAF in 2019 with the Birmingham Iron. After that, in 2020, I played for the LA Wildcats, got traded to the New York Guardians. COVID happened. Then after that, I played in the Spring League with the Jousters. After that, I played with the Generals in 2022. After that, I got signed back to the Rams in 22. After that, where was I at? 22. And then after that, I played in the XFL in 23 with the Vegas Vipers, got traded to the Renegades. After the Renegades, went back to the Renegades the next year, which was this last year, and then I got signed by the Chargers, then got released, and now we're here. So that's kind of the whole timeline.
Dang, dude. So how do you, I mean, there's so many adjustments, like career adjustments that you had to make. How do you just put your head down and just keep going? I mean, you have to be so easy going. I mean, plus nobody thinks about it, but the traveling, like you got to go from this place to that place. I mean, how did you adjust? Like, I mean, and then you could even maybe talk about like, your family, do you have to move your family everywhere you go? How does that work?
Yeah, so that's a great question. To start, Rams. So I'm from San Diego. So they were in San Diego while I was in LA. So that was easy, right? They're down, they're only 2 hours away. They come and see me once in a while, which is great. Well, after that, I went to Birmingham Iron, which there I did move my family to Birmingham. So I was there. You know, everybody was there. We were locked in. Everything's good. After that, I got signed to the Eagles. I don't think I mentioned that earlier in the timeline. I forget. There's so many teams. But so I was with the Eagles.
Super Bowl champions.
Yeah. So I was with the Eagles in 2019. And then at that time, right, when you're in the NFL, at the time I got signed, you really don't know if you're going to stick or not. So you kind of have to wait around to see, because you don't want to make all these big changes right away. So I kind of went on my own. My wife stayed back. And then kind of did it that way. Ended up getting released. So it was a good thing. After that, I got signed to Detroit. Did the same thing, but the same thing happened. So I got released. So my wife didn't go with me over there. So then 2020, I was with the LA Wildcats. So again, I'm right close to home. But a week before the first game, they traded me to New York Guardians. So I'm getting ready to have my first child in 2020. She was due in February. And a week before the first game, which was February, I get shipped to New York. So then I have to like figure out what I'm going to do. So I have to fly back, take a red-eye flight without trying to miss practice because I'm new there. I got to make a statement. I'm not missing for nothing. So I have to fly on a red-eye flight, come back, pulled an all-nighter, was there for like 4 or 5 hours, and then just flew right back. I was there for the birth. So yeah, Spring League, they were with me. USFL, they weren't. Renegades, they were with me. Rams, again, it's L.A. Chargers, it's L.A. So ended up working out. But yeah, the constant movement is hard, right? Because you got to, you know, it's planning, right? It's financial decisions that you have to plan out. You can't just abort your place. You have a lease somewhere, or you have a place, you have a house, and you have to figure it all out.
Yeah.
But, you know, luckily it's worked out.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard because sometimes it's like you're not even really the one in control necessarily, you know? You got
correct.
These organizations making these decisions somewhere. Oliver, you got a question?
Yeah. What's the off season look like for you now that it's Spring League? What do you do when, like in the off season? Do you just practice?
Yeah. So off season for a Spring League player is completely different than the NFL, right? Because most of the guys that are playing in Spring Leagues are wanting to go to the NFL. Right. So like different than the NFL where you play September through February, right? If you're lucky, right. And then you have like 2 or 3 months off before you have to report again. And you know, there's no action, nothing happens there. So you have 3 months to just relax, kind of get your body right, rest your body and kind of recover from the season. Now for us, it's completely different because our season ends in June, right? So our hopes is to get into a training camp. So we're in a training camp. Let's say we don't get a call. Well, now you can get a call at any time during the season. So you have to constantly stay ready throughout the whole season because if somebody goes down, you got to be ready to go. The last thing you want is for somebody to call you and you're not ready. That's the worst, right? You don't want to live with regrets. So then that goes all the way around, right? Up until January, February, but then your season starts again. So then you start again. So there's really no off season, quote unquote. You have to constantly stay ready. So I've had to learn how to keep my body prepped without killing my body with getting quality reps. You know, it's been a process, but I have a good routine going now, which is good.
You might have asked what your diet's like. Like, what do you have a nutritionist or do you just do all that yourself? You watch YouTube tutorials?
Yeah, there you go. No, so I have a trainer who's also a nutritionist back home, who I trust, who I've been with for years. He's awesome. So he keeps me in line. He knows, you know, where I need to be at, my weight, how many, you know, grams of protein, how many carbs, how many fats, you know, all these different things. So it's been easy because I don't have to think, right? He just tells me, hey, do this, this, and this. Okay, I just do it.
You just got to have the discipline of doing stuff. So correct. Does he follow you? Like, or do the teams that you've been on, I'm sure they probably also have trainers and stuff, but this guy stays with you?
Yeah, so he doesn't, like, travel with me, but, like, we're in constant communication at all times.
Okay, gotcha. Cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's we had an actor on here the other day, and he was kind of talking about that, how he hired also like a trainer. People don't think about that. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of professions where you need you know, people telling you like what diet to be on, you know, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you just have so much going on, right? You don't want to focus on other stuff. You have to make it as simple as possible for yourself because, I mean, especially for being a quarterback, like your mind has to be completely on football at all times. You can't be worrying about, oh, let me go weigh my food or let me go do this, let me go do that. No, it's just like, give me something. I already know it's ready to go and I eat it. That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I think the UFL is going to be a lot bigger this year. It grew 30% last year. And do you think it's going to continue to grow this year? Because I definitely think it will.
Yeah, for sure. I think as the quality of play goes up and we keep expanding and doing those things, I think there's talks 2026 to, you know, continue to expand and get some more teams. And we just built a brand new headquarters here in Arlington. So, I mean, it's going. I think spring football's here to stay, which is a good thing. And yeah, no, I think every year is just going to get a little bit better.
Hopefully you're allowed to talk about this, but I might be getting ahead of myself, but do you have goals that you want to go back to the NFL someday? I know I watched an interview with you and I think you mentioned that, you know, hopefully you would. How do you feel at this point in your career about that? Like, do you like playing in the UFL or would you rather like keep or move up and go to the NFL?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where you're playing in the Spring League to play in the NFL, majority of guys. Like, my goal is still to go to the NFL. That's what I wake up every single day to. My mind is on the NFL. I need to go to the NFL. Like, that's my goal. That's my goal, to provide for my family and, you know, live the NFL life. That's what I, as a kid, you know, you don't grow up saying, hey, I want to be a UFL quarterback, right? You grow up, right. It wasn't even around when I was a kid. Now I'm very fortunate that, you know, all these great investors and all these great people have built the UFL, because if it wasn't for the UFL, I wouldn't be playing anywhere, right? It's a league of opportunity, which is phenomenal. So yeah, again, my goals and aspirations are still to go to the NFL and hopefully win Super Bowls and do all these different things that I have in mind. But yeah, I mean, that's the ultimate goal, is to go back to the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe someday with all the growth happening with the UFL, maybe that will be a little kid's dream, you know, playing the UFL. Who knows? It's pretty cool. Yeah.
So, yeah. You've met a ton of cool people. You talked about meeting Dwayne The Rock. I'm sure you've met some crazy pro players. Who is, in your opinion, like, I don't know, like the coolest person that you've got to meet through the sport, or maybe someone that you've like looked up to and got the chance to meet, someone like that?
Yeah. So Drew Brees. So again, I grew up in San Diego, grew up a Charger fan, grew up watching Drew Brees. And so he actually still lives in San Diego, and we actually got connected when I was in college. So that was a pretty cool moment. So we got connected with the same trainer, and we trained together for about 4 or 5 years in the offseason before he retired. So I got to spend every summer with Drew Brees, throwing with him side by side. Me, him, and Chase Daniel were the only three quarterbacks. That's so awesome. You know, he brought me in a circle and got to learn so much from him. I mean, the way he just handles himself off camera, on camera, the way he knows how to flip a switch when we're working out. I mean, it's a whole nother level that I didn't know at that time.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
And that really helped me in college. To be honest, he's a huge part. He doesn't know this, but he's a huge reason why I even was successful in college. Because as a quarterback, right, your job is to play on the field and do well. But your other job that people don't really consider much is you have to get everybody else around you to the best of their ability so you can be the best you could be. So like I remember in college, we had this group. It was like three guys, right? We would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. We'd lift. Right? Or do some type of activity, whether it was like ball drills, whatever. Position specific. Field, weight room, didn't matter. Right? Start off with three people. Then after a few, you know, weeks, it was six people. Then it was 10 people. And then it got to a point where it was 26 people there in the morning. Right? So now you talk about almost half the team is waking up in the morning, getting extra work. Now they're all getting better, which ultimately helps you get better. Right? And I also had this thing where every time somebody asked me to go out to a party or to do anything like that, I had to either go to the gym or had to hit the field. Those are my only two options. So every time I got asked that, I knew in my mind, okay, I had to go work out or I had to go to the field. And that's kind of one of those things that I didn't necessarily take that from Drew Brees, but that gave me the idea with his mindset, the way he works and the way he operates. That gave me the idea to do something like that for myself. So again, yeah, he definitely deserves a lot of credit for that.
I like that.
Even though he doesn't know it.
That's crazy. Did anybody ask you to go to the same party twice in one night?
Well, see, that's the thing. Nobody knew about that. I wouldn't tell people like, hey, I'm about to go to the gym. No, it was kind of an internal thing that I knew. Like when somebody asked me, like I'd say, oh no, man, you know, I can't go. I'm going to spend time with the wife or whatever. And I go to the gym or go to the field. Oh,
I'm picturing you walking out the gym and then some other friend texts you again after hit a double. Dude, that's a really cool rule. So
yeah, you gotta sacrifice. You gotta sacrifice to get to where you are, you know.
100%. It's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it, right?
Right.
Yeah. Right. So you said Drew Brees inspired you to do that, not directly, but is there anything that you directly that you learned from him that he that you took from him when you were working with him over those summers? Besides that?
Yeah, I would say this. I would say the way he communicated with each teammate, right? Like, he would fly in a bunch of different receivers, Michael Thomas, you know, all the receivers you can think of. He would fly them all in. And what was very unique was that he spoke to every single one differently. And I always thought, why, right? Like, why wouldn't, you know, it was just weird. Like, some guys, he would yell at them, like, hey, we're not doing that. This is how we're running the route. Another guy, he pulled him to the side and told him, hey, bro, you can't do that. You need to pick it up. So I always found it interesting, like, knowing everybody's character and knowing how to get the best out of them, you have to know how to talk to them, right? Because the ultimate goal is to get the best out of each individual, right? So when you communicate with somebody, you have to know which avenue and how to communicate to be able to get the best out of that specific individual. Again, one guy, you might have to rip his ass and be like, hey, that's not how we're doing things. Like, you need to do it this way. Another guy might not like that. It might not respond the way you want him to that way. Another guy, you might have to pull him to the side and say, hey, you know, so-and-so, this is what you have to do, right? So I really took that and I applied that my senior year of college. And that really, I think, was a big difference in my season.
That's cool. Yeah, it's a big role. The quarterback is to be able to motivate everybody else. I'm sure you've gotten better at that too over the years, you know, getting people prepped for the games. Do you have any pre-game preparation that you do personally before every game?
When you mean by preparation, like a ritual or like a...
Yeah, a ritual or just, I mean, yeah, I guess like a ritual or whatever. You have any of that?
I mean, I walk around the field and I touch every pylon. That's kind of what I do. I always warm up at the 50-yard line when I'm doing my...
What kind of music you listening to?
You know, that changes. Usually it's like some type of soft, soothing music, right, to calm down. Now if I feel, because emotion changes, right? Now if I feel like for some reason I woke up and I'm like, what's going on? I'll throw on like some motivational, you know, podcast or something where I'm like, okay, it's time. Like let me wrap it up. You know what I mean? So it kind of just depends by game. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, you can turn on this podcast one day, this game. That'd be this year. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. Have you ever been recognized in public in some of these UFL towns or even a bigger NFL town?
Yeah. That happens quite a bit. Really? Especially in Texas, right? Football's bigger in Texas, right? So that's I'm going on year three, right, with the Renegades. We won a championship with them. So once in a while, you know, if I'm in the Arlington area or even, you know, Dallas, all that area, I get stopped sometimes. I mean, I wouldn't say it's like all the time, but you know, I do get stopped once in a while.
Yeah, is that weird? Like, do you like that, or is it? I don't know. You seem kind of more of like a, I don't know, just chill guy, not really wanting all the attention. But how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what they want, right? Like a picture, yeah, absolutely. If they want, you know, something like these like crazy requests or just like random things, I'm like, all right, come on. You know, but
someone wants like some feet pics or something.
No, or like, hey, take off your shirt. Like one time I'm walking and they're like, and I had a Renegade shirt on and they were like, hey, can you, or it was a sweater. He was like, hey, can you take off your sweater? Can I have your sweater? And I'm like, come on. Like, I'm taking my sweater. I need my sweater. Like, come on.
Messed up.
That's that.
But, yeah, no, I mean, I don't mind it, right? As long as it's not like excessive where it happens all the time, but it doesn't usually happen that way.
Okay.
Crazy. That's interesting. We should talk about your book a little bit more. Unless, Oliver, do you have any more questions about the UFL right now?
I kind of want to go back to bowling just really quick. Do you think that there were any skills from bowling that actually transferred and helped you on the field for football?
Yeah, I would say yes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So, like, if you break down a bowling motion, right, it's the same motion when you're spinning a ball and you're spinning a ball. Right, it's just reversed. And, you know, that's probably the only thing physical, right? You're not running around cutting and bowling. But the mental aspect, though, I would say this is probably the most important one is, you know, I really related, when I first threw an interception in the game, I really related to it as, you know, I have 4, 5, 6 strikes in a row, and then I throw a split. You're like, you know, that's equivalent to, you know, being 10 for 12, 2 touchdowns, and then, boom, you throw a pick. And you're like, oh, come on, you know? And it's that mindset of like, all right, next play or next frame mentality.
Yeah.
That I definitely took from bowling and took it to football.
And also bowling is such a mental game because you're out there, you're by yourself. It's all on you. And like, it's all like you just up in your head, talking to yourself. And it's just all about how you handle that will definitely help you with your game. And that transfers to being a quarterback and having that same mindset because everything is like on you. You're the playmaker, you know? So I definitely see how that would help as well. But yeah, we can hop into the book now. It's titled The Spring King. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Awesome. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? When's it coming out?
Yeah, so release date is March 27th of this year, The Spring King. I've had it on my mind for a long time, right? When I first transitioned to bowling, I knew, you know, I was going to have a unique story. And it's not your traditional path to getting to your dreams. And, you know, I would always journal as a kid. I would always, like, write down special events that have happened. Or I would think that one day I was going to write a book or do a movie or whatever. And I would just write stuff down. So I thought this would be the perfect time to start writing the book. I just think that it can impact so many people. I mean, from athletes to just your day-to-day people on how to deal with adversity, right? And having the mindset of like, when you want something so bad, you will find a way, right? And if you don't find a way, it's because you really didn't want it bad enough. That's my personal opinion. It's been a really cool thing, right? To go back and reflect on everything, right? As an athlete, as a competitor, it's always like, all right, move forward, tunnel vision. You don't ever look back. So it was good to reflect and go back and go through old journals and see like, man, like I've been through a lot to this point. I mean, there's been a lot of obstacles that have, you know, been a bump in the road to be where I am today. And you start appreciating those moments because like, if it was easy, it wouldn't be as satisfying in my opinion. The journey really makes the moment on how all these different obstacles that you did and had to go overcome and all these different things that had to happen perfectly to align for you to be even where I am today. I mean, it's a really cool thing to go back and reflect. Again, it's going to be a good thing. I think not only if you're a football player or any sport, but I think if you're just a day-to-day person, you should read the book. I think it could really impact your life in a positive manner. And it's going to be sold on Amazon. And I'm going to have a book funnel. I'm going to have my stuff on, you know, my Instagram and stuff like that. But yeah, no, it's going to be called The Spring King, March 27th.
Day before the season. That's good. Good publicity.
Yeah, that's a cool way to put, I mean, like you said, you're taking your whole story, basically condensing it down into some pages, which is pretty cool. I bet for you to experience too, on while you're writing. This might be kind of a stupid question. But I feel like a lot of people feel disconnected from like people that write books or like authors. Do you use Google Docs or do you use Microsoft Word? What are you using?
That's what I use. I mean, I don't think there's no preference.
See, I don't feel like people know that you can write a book on Google Docs, you know?
Yeah, you're just writing. You're just typing out. I signed with a publishing company, so it's all professional, right? Even if you're not the best experienced writer or whatever, I mean, everything's online. I mean, you can, and plus, I mean, literally, anything you need to learn, right? You can get it on YouTube. I mean, literally anything you want to know, you can get it on there. So
you're proof.
Now I wanted to kind of speed this. So anything you want to kind of speed up or just learn better, you know, to me, you go to YouTube. Now so it transitions faster and because I want to get this book out in time for the season. So I went with a company, which is helping me and it's speeding everything up. That's really why I did that.
So can that company do some of the like grammar stuff? Are you using like Grammarly or something or like?
Yeah, no. So they're handling all the editing part, right? Okay, I'm just jotting down all my thoughts, my story, like a really raw draft. And then they kind of go in there and fix it, right? That's basically what it is.
That's nice. Because then it allows you to just brain dump on the page. And you're not like caught up in
spelling. Oh, I messed that up. Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. Dude, I'm excited for this book. I'm going to order it for sure.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, and you said Amazon?
Amazon, yeah. Or through my book funnel I'm going to put once we get closer to the launch date, I'm going to put a link in my bio on Instagram.
That's cool. Also, yeah, I was thinking about the title for your next book, and once you get to the NFL, you could call it From Pro Bowler to Pro Bowler.
That's a good one. That's catchy.
Yeah.
That's catchy. That's a good one. I got to write that one down. That's a good one.
Definitely, dude.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we had a kind of a fun question about this. Do you ever hit any celebrations when you're in the end zone?
I don't. You know, it's always kind of like, let's go, one of those. But it's never like I'm a real simple guy, as you can tell by now. You know, I'm about execution. Like when I throw a touchdown, okay, I'm happy. And then, all right, next play, like what are we going to do next? Or how are we going to score? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's just kind of trained and ingrained in my body. Like, even, like, when I won a championship game in college and I won in the XFL, like you don't really think, what's the word? How do I want to word this? It's, you're always moving forward, right? So like the emotion that you think you're going to have winning a championship, a Super Bowl, whatever it is, right? As a competitor, it never really lives up to the hype, right? Because it's so gratifying in that moment, but it only lasts for so long. And then it's like, all right, well, now I got to do it again. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's kind of a weird deal. It's definitely something I've learned, right? After just my first championship, like, man, this is, like, I won it and this is it. Like, am I done? And then you go back and then you do it again. And it's like Tom Brady was talking about this not too long ago. He was talking about, like, after he won his 3 Super Bowls early in his career, he didn't really understand the value in winning a Super Bowl. He thought it was easy, right? Like, he just won 3 Super Bowls. And so he started contemplating life of, like, what, should I retire? Should I do something else? He didn't really know. But then he went, like, 9, I forget the stat, don't quote me, but then I think like 9 or 10 years without winning a Super Bowl. And that next Super Bowl he won was, like, the most gratifying thing ever. That's what he was talking about, right? It's everything's perspective,
yeah.
Right? Like, what you perceive it as in that moment. So yeah, that's kind of something I've learned throughout the whole process is like, I enjoy it, but once it's done and it's do it again.
Yeah, you got to reset.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, I like that mindset. It's pretty cool. Oliver, you got something?
Yeah. So you talked about, obviously, your book, you're trying to help people out. You yourself were helped out from YouTube. Have you thought about starting a YouTube channel and making some educational football content to help people that were like you, who maybe want to start playing football professionally or at a higher level?
Yeah, that's something that I've definitely considered. Now, again, that's something that is going to take some time and invest some hours in it. I just don't think right now is the right time, just because I'm just so locked in, especially with the book and my season's coming up and all these different things. But that's definitely a thought that when I am done playing, I want to get to that, or at least maybe start it early and then kind of, you know, get more into it once I'm done playing.
Yeah, because like coaching and teaching is something you can do pretty much for the rest of your life. You know, you don't, I mean, you could pursue that up until you're like 70 something. So yeah, there's definitely no rush.
Yeah, well, in a way, also your book is kind of like giving back in a way. Like you're telling your story, you're definitely motivating people through that way too, which is something I just thought about. So yeah, that is pretty cool. Yeah, I had a question.
We had Bishop Athlete Representation on. Do you work with them at all?
Yeah, so they're my marketing team.
Yeah, they're some good guys. So we had a good question. You have quite the social media following and a lot of loyal fans. Do you have a dream brand deal out there for you, or just like a favorite brand that like you would love to work with?
I mean, Nike, you know, Nike, Under Armour, those are the top ones, really. Other than that, to be honest, I haven't put much thought into that.
Yeah, dude, that'd be cool. Nike, Under Armour.
Yeah, that'd be insane.
Well, actually, Under Armour, maybe you could get through The Rock, too, because he's got a huge deal with them, I think.
True, yeah.
Yeah, so I had something 2 years ago with Project Rock. Went out there to Baltimore, you know, shot some commercials, got some free gear, stuff like that. It was a good gig. Hopefully, we could do some more of that this year. I don't know if they're going to do it, though.
What is Project Rock for the people that don't know out there?
So Project Rock is like The Rock's brand, like under Armour.
Okay.
So it's Under Armour, but it's like, yeah the Bulls, exactly, yeah, right. Yep.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, yeah. Everybody's seen that. No, yeah. That's pretty awesome. You got involved there.
Yeah.
That's cool. I was thinking about this, kind of going back to like just the whole gameplay, you know, playing in the UFL. Is it hard to, I mean, also with the career adjustments and stuff going back and forth, were there any rule changes that were like really hard for you to grasp onto? And like, was it weird like switching up?
I would say the first one was probably the extra point one, right? Like you're so used to, okay, you score, you run off the field, right? But that's not the case anymore because you have to attempt an extra point now, right? Like you have to actually try on offense, you have to try to score and get the extra point.
Right. And could you get like 3 points too or something?
Yeah. So you can get 1, 2, or 3 depending on where you want the ball. Okay. 2 yard line is 1 point, 5 yard line is 2 points, and I think 10 yard line is 3 points. So I know that's sweet. I like it. But that's just something you got to get used to, right? Because in college, you score and then you run right off the field.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's different.
Well, yeah, that definitely brings like a different aspect to the game. I feel like games would be so much better. But the NFL already took a rule from the kickoff rule, right?
There it is. Kickoff rule, yep.
So it's interesting. Maybe we'll see some more like merging with the rule stuff, you know, in the future.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool to see it.
Yeah, that was awesome. Sweet.
Oh man, dude. Well, I mean, I'm sure we could dive into a whole bunch of stuff, but
I know there's a ton.
Yeah, but it's like, I feel like we're almost at a good stopping point. But dude, if you ever want to do another one, man, we'd definitely be up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe when we're closer to the season, we can set something up.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That'd be awesome.
Oh yeah. And I'm definitely gonna be watching more of the UFL this year and hopefully getting the Spring King.
Yes.
There you go. March 27th.
Awesome.
Just finishing up my cover. I gotta submit what's today. Yeah. Yeah. So by today I have to submit my final cover.
Well, what's then that?
It's gonna be of me. Well, I don't know the final one yet, but there's a couple rough drafts. It's just of me and some cool pictures in the background.
Gotcha.
But again, I don't want to say too much because it's not the final one, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know which one I'm going to use yet.
Yeah. Oh, also, if you do end up hitting a celly one day, which I know you're not a big celebration dude, I think you should hit the bowling pins.
Get the bowling pin one?
Yeah.
You know, they tried to convince me to do it last year. They said, if I ever get a rushing touchdown, okay, where I'm actually in the end zone, that everybody would line up his pins and I would throw the ball and they'd all fall. So that's, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Cool.
Yeah. March 29th.
I feel like, yeah. March 29th. Like the only person that can like hit that and it's actually like valid. Yeah. You know?
That's funny.
All right, man. Well, Oliver, do you want to close us out? Or what do you
think? I can. Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you everybody for watching. This has been a great episode. Make sure you tune in on March 28th for the first game of the season for the UFL and March 29th for Luis's first game. And also his book is coming out the 27th. So this is 3 days of just awesomeness. And make sure you get the book, watch all the games. It's going to be a great season. Thank you, Luis, for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
We'll see you in the next one.
See you guys.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.